Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. My name is Reverend Todd Laddick, and today I'm bringing to you part 6 of a multi-part Lenten series entitled Through the Valley, with today's message specifically entitled Lament and Hope, based off of Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. So let us dive into the Word today. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is His faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance, therefore I will hope in Him. Amen. In a world of either or, lament can bring us to a more honest place of both and. We can both reckon with the full weight of our sorrows and experience hope in our faithful, loving God. In the fading light of dusk, Jeremiah stood atop the crumbling walls of Jerusalem, his heart heavy with sorrow. The once majestic city lay in ruins before him, its streets deserted and its walls breached by the enemy's relentless assault. As he gazed upon the devastation, Jeremiah felt the weight of despair settle upon his shoulders like a leaden cloak. How long has it been? He whispered to himself, his voice barely a breath in the stillness of the evening, since the glory of Jerusalem faded into darkness. How long since her people walked these streets in peace? With each passing moment, memories of better days flooded Jeremiah's mind, of bustling marketplaces filled with laughter, and of a temple resounding with the songs of worship, of a city that stood upon the hill as a beacon of hope and strength in a troubled land. But now, all that remained were the echoes of a vibrant past swallowed by the ravages of war and destruction. Tears welled in Jeremiah's eyes as he recalled the suffering of his people, their cries for mercy, their pleas for deliverance falling on deaf ears. How could he, a mere mortal, bear witness to such devastation and not be consumed by grief? I remember my affliction and my wandering, Jeremiah murmured, his voice trembling with emotion. The bitterness and the gall, I remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. But even in the depths of his despair, Jeremiah clung to a glimmer of hope, a hope born from the unwavering faith that had sustained him through the darkest of days. For he knew that despite the pain and suffering that surrounded him, his God was a God of mercy and compassion, a God who held the power to redeem even the most broken of souls. Yet I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope, Jeremiah declared, his voice growing stronger with each word. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. As Jeremiah spoke these words, a sense of peace washed over him, a peace born from the knowledge that even in the midst of destruction, God's love remain steadfast and true. And though the road ahead would be long and difficult, Jeremiah found solace in the promise of restoration, that one day Jerusalem would rise from the ashes more glorious than ever before. With renewed determination, Jeremiah turned his gaze toward the horizon, his heart filled with hope for the future. For he knew that even in the darkest of times, the dawn of a new day was just beyond the horizon, bringing with it the promise of redemption and renewal. Jeremiah, who is traditionally seen as the author of this book, laments his affliction and homelessness or wandering. As a community, we experience afflictions too. For example, declining membership, decreased giving, the pandemic. Jeremiah honestly faces his affliction, no sugarcoating, and at the same time brings his lament before God, whom he ultimately trusts. Lament before a steadfast, loving God differs from mere complaining, in the sense that lament contains a hopefulness born of trust. If you're lamenting to someone. It is possible, even a good thing, for lament and hope to dwell in the same space and at the same time. In our time of lament, we can lay down or rest for a while. At some point, we have to get back up. That doesn't mean lament is over. Particularly with grief, it almost has to be both. Having the space to be honest and pour ourselves out before God gives us the ability to get up, live, serve, and be. We don't abandon lament or hope for the other. It can be both fully at the same time. Or it can be fully both at the same time. I'm saying that backwards. I apologize. We see this dynamic in the scripture where in verses 19 through 20, the writer honestly pours themselves out before God. And then in verse 21, where hope starts to soothe and to soothe the lament. Eventually, our suffering becomes a scar instead of a wound. You know how it is when you cut yourself accidentally, you're bleeding and it's an open wound and it hurts. But eventually, time heals that wound and the skin around the wound becomes even tougher than the skin that was originally there. And it no longer hurts. Yes, it's a reminder of what had happened, but it no longer hurts us. Also, it's important to note that while this scripture passage only shows two verses of lament before focusing on hope, Lamentations chapters 1 through 2 and the beginning of chapter 3 are all focused on lament. And then the remaining verses in chapters 3 through 4 and 5 show a mix of lament, hope, supplication, etc. So contrary to what our short selection might imply if taken out of context, shifting from lament to hope is not often quick or linear. In verses 22 through 23, the writer recalls God's steadfastness. Sometimes we can look back on past grief or painful experiences and see how God sustained us through them. You know, in the moment, it's so hard to notice. It feels like it's taking forever. To me, it's like the high school experience. I remember going into high school and they told me this was going to be the best 4 years of your life. And for me, it was like 4 years of prison. It couldn't be over quick enough. Now, on this end of it, I can look back and see how it flew by like in the flash of an eye, you know, because hindsight is always 20/20. But in the moment, it felt forever. And sometimes it takes us getting past it to see where God has sustained us through it. And this can be one way that we nurture hope for the future. God is steadfast even when we waver. Trusting even when it hurts and is hard. And finding peace and hope in that place is part of discipleship. When we face life and God with honesty, we can face it with hope. But without honesty, there is no hope. Let me ask you, where can you shift from but to and in your own life? How does that change your perspective and provide a possibility that brings hope? Are you currently in a season of waiting? How can you move towards acceptance that this is a season of waiting, even if it feels too long or hard? Jeremiah describes how he sees God and what he believes to be true about God. What characteristics of God can you embrace in this time of affliction that might allow you to find some hope? Friends, the basis of Jeremiah's hope is God's steadfast love. But there are other characteristics of God or God's promises that might help us find hope, such as God creating us in God's image. You know, when I was in undergrad in philosophy, I had the head of the philosophy, religion and philosophy department, Dr. Michael Kogan at the time at Montclair State University. He said, and he always said this, we were created in the image of an imageless God. Think about that. We were created in the image of an imageless God. What's that mean? How special is that? What hope does that bring to us when we really think about the weight of that? Or how about God's presence with us in Jesus Christ? Or God's promise of eternal life? In verse 19, some translations say wandering while others say homelessness. Even if we are not experiencing homelessness or wandering ourselves, we are called to serve those who are, to be a place and a people of hope in the midst of others' lament. And by the way, who says homelessness or wandering is only physical? Many of us can find ourselves there emotionally, psychologically, spiritually. But even if we aren't, we are called to serve those who are. How do we walk alongside people who are waiting? And not amplify impatience or make it harder for people who are wandering, waiting and hoping for something better. For instance, we can do the things we are already doing. We can create spaces for belonging, spaces that meet the needs of people and give them a place to belong. Spaces such as Treasures of Hope, which is a thrift shop in which many people belong. People will come in and buy, then all of a sudden they start donating. Next thing you know, they're helping out. That is a place, a community of people that belong. Or how about our potluck suppers? Or hypnosis for health? Or theology on tap, Our church provides space for the Boy Scouts. We're providing space for Norwest Cap and its ministries. We are providing spaces for Cherry Yoga and Life with Joy, which is a wonderful program that houses and teaches adults with autism. And we can do more as well. We often try to move people along before people are ready to move on from a difficult situation, or we want to move on ourselves because it is uncomfortable. But we are called to walk alongside, not scurry away. Amen? Let us be a people who embrace both lament and hope, recognizing that it is in the midst of one that comes another. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity to be here today, to be tuning in and listening to this message, and hopefully we find hope as well as challenge in it, that we are challenged to rise up and to be your disciples. Lord, give us the strength to do so. And even when we waver, we trust that you are holding us in your hands and moving us ever forward towards your goal. We pray all of these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. Friends, it's always good to have you tune in. And as I always say, I hope you got something out of this, just like I get putting into it. In fact, I get tremendous amount putting in to this ministry. And I really do hope that it is something that you are finding is nourishing you as well. With that said, I want to remind you that that we have episode notes, and you can find those episode notes in the space beneath where you are playing the episode from. Also, in those notes, you will find links to our giving pages. If you are able to give, we would be much appreciative of that. As I always say, this is a free ministry. This is a ministry for getting the good news of Jesus Christ out. So there is no charge for it. But if you are in a place of giving and are able to help the ministries of our church, we would greatly appreciate that. And of course, with that said, if you are attending a church of your own, and by God, I hope you are, support that ministry. That ministry needs it as much as ours. But if you can support the both of us, well, neither of us would complain about that, now would we? With all of that said, I just want to again thank you for tuning in. And I want to remind you that you are richly blessed so that you might be a blessing to others. Go in peace.